The Gospel is according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Peter asked Jesus, "How often are we supposed to forgive someone?" Jesus answers, "Not seven times, but 77 times. Some of us have probably heard this before. 77, it's a number that reflects extravagance, excess, infinity, if you will. It's not a countdown of endurance. It's a completion that's waiting to be fulfilled, in that we are forgiven every day with every breath that God puts into our lives. It's the nature of our relationship with Jesus through the cross. It is for us to know. It is for us to celebrate. It is for us to live out every day, maybe even with every breath. And we know all of this. Some of us have heard this all of our lives. It's in part what draws us into worship. Maybe even this morning, at some point during the week, we get up by God's grace, we look around, we reflect on our lives, and we think, did it again. And the Holy Spirit draws us back into community again. And then we come here and we confess to our Lord again. And then we touch these waters again. And then we share in this holy meal again. Then we pass the peace of Christ again, and we remember that we are forgiven every day. We know forgiveness. We get it. Peter knows forgiveness. He gets it. He's been hearing it all throughout chapter 18 in this particular gospel. Jesus has been telling story after story about forgiveness. Peter's not asking some abstract question about theological and doctrinal underpinnings of our faith in God. And he's not asking a clarifying question, those questions that we might ask God periodically when we're just thinking in the back of our thoughts. Peter is asking a difficult question. For some of us who have asked this question before, it's a painful question. Peter's asking a question that's weighed down for some of us with anger, sadness, fear, betrayal. Peter already understands that forgiveness is key. It's central to faith. Now, he may not understand that forgiveness must come through the cross, but let's be honest, here in the house of God, we don't get that either. This idea that Jesus' son must die in order for us to live, how our hands here in 2017 are part of crafting a cross that will execute our Lord 2,000 years ago, but that's not the question that Peter is asking. Peter is asking, "How often, Jesus?" That's the way that sometimes we ask, "How often, Jesus? How often do we need to forgive?" That might be the question of a friend of ours who's been kicked out of their family. "How often, Jesus?" That's the question that a spouse might have who's haunted by childhood trauma that's brought back with every family reunion. "How often, Jesus?" That's the question we might ask every single time we've been betrayed by our neighbor, our colleague, our classmate who keeps coming back, and all those old patterns recirculate again and we feel powerless. "How often, Jesus?" We're trying to figure out forgiveness. We're trying to figure out whether or not we should forgive. Can we forgive? What forgiveness might even look like? We don't know Peter's story. Matthew doesn't dig into that. None of the Gospels actually dig into who Peter is all that much. We don't really know the source of his question, but it seems to be that Peter is carrying some baggage. He's got some freight on his back, and he doesn't want to carry it anymore. He's ready to get it off his back, but he can't, because it clings to him the way it clings to us, and it finds the way it show its true heaviness when all those old patterns come back again. So this is where I then step into the story as the pastor of a church, not just of this church, but as a representative of the church. And I confess before you even this morning that the church has done a pretty horrible job of talking about forgiveness, especially in the face of trauma. Because I've known spouses and wives, you've known spouses and wives, who have been told that they should just go home and they need to keep taking it, you know, but they got to just keep forgiving. I sat with a man once, an older gentleman, successful in his life, but when he started talking about his stepfather, all that pain came right back to the surface because he had been told by people who he trusted, just go home and just keep forgiving. We've known parents who have lost money to their kids. We've known students who have been bullied and harassed. We have known full-grown adults who are told that they are worthless and they are not meant to walk this earth. And unfortunately, I've known one or two people in my life who couldn't carry the weight anymore, and they stopped trying. So I need to say, on behalf of the church, when we start talking about forgiveness, that I need to confess we have failed. We refuse to name the sin. We have refused to allow the hurt. We have refused to protect our own people, to help set people free so they can know the grace and the love and the dignity of life that surrounds every child of God. Our church, not just this church, but I mean the church, we've hidden behind Jesus' words in this gospel with an assumption that a little bit of forgiveness will go a long way. And then, of course, I will now say, as a quick disclaimer, that if you know someone who is in a dysfunctional relationship, if you know someone who's being abused by their spouse, if you know someone who's being attacked for their identity, if you know someone who's being pushed around because of their skin color, their nation of origin, or for who they love, tell them that my office is safe, because I will protect them. I will help them move if I have to. I will find whatever they need to survive. I will use whatever power I have been given to help another person know that they are meant to be free. Because Jesus isn't telling us in this gospel that all we got to do is toughen up and take it. That's not forgiveness. That's abuse. That's destruction of life. And Jesus affirms life. Jesus isn't answering Peter's question with an abstract statement. He's not saying right off the cuff, just keep forgiving. He says that forgiveness is complete. It is infinite. It is extravagant. It is far more than we could possibly comprehend. And forgiveness does not require us to be in danger in order to get it. We don't need to be taken advantage of in order to know that we have been loved by God just because we have a lovely Christian heart. Forgiveness is not meant to be handed off as a way to surrender power. Forgiveness is freedom. Forgiveness is life. Forgiveness is power given back to God's people. It is an unhindered breath that's no longer weighed down by all that baggage that we might carry. Forgiveness is our Lord coming to us in our distress, in our despair, in our darkness, and telling us, clear as we can possibly hear it, you are loved. You are redeemed. We are worthy of all that God gives us in order to live in our faith and to live in the light of Christ. Forgiveness is naming how we have fallen short of God's glory. Forgiveness names sin, and it names it in the presence of a generous, compassionate God, because Jesus will take our sin. The way Jesus takes our pain and our doubt and our disappointment and all of our shame, he takes all of it, and he buries it in the ground. He puts it up on the cross so that we can be set free. Peter, as he keeps hearing about forgiveness, Peter is stuck. The way you and I, when we might hear about forgiveness in abstract ways in the church, we get stuck. Stuck on what it means to be forgiven. Stuck on what it means to forgive. What it means to do what we can to know in our hearts that we are set free, and then to reflect that freedom to our neighbors, our church members, our people, especially our people, our loved ones, who are waylaid and heavy burdened by the pain and the sinful powers of this world that are in their lives. But Jesus does not tell Peter that he needs to suck it up. Jesus does not tell Peter that he needs to go back to the source of his suffering. Jesus does not tell Peter that nothing new is going to happen because through the cross, Peter is new. He is redeemed. He's made whole. He is forgiven. Jesus isn't counseling us to go back. He's showing us how to go forward, how to leave that brokenness at the foot of the cross and keep walking in the glory of God's grace, to not perpetuate the pain that we know by passing it on to anybody else, but to recognize that we have been made right by Christ. Our lives are reconciled. We are redeemed. Our hope is restored through living waters and a holy meal and a communion of saints who gathers around us every single week. The Holy Spirit got us here today so that we can hear this truth again. You are loved by God. Jesus answers Peter's question with a call to remember that he is forgiven and to carry that light forward, to know in our lives that we are good with God by God's grace, and that this grace is for every person who we encounter every day with every breath, if we can possibly do it. This grace, this forgiveness that lifts us to our feet is for the lifting up of God's people. This reconciliation that restores us is for the restoration of creation. This expectation of hope that is bound to our hearts, it is meant to reflect hope to our brothers and sisters, especially those who are still trapped, who are still being bullied, who are still being told that they are worth less because of their race, their creed, their gender, who they love, their immigrant status, for simply walking the earth. Our forgiveness is our neighbor's forgiveness. Our love is our neighbor's love. Our power through the Holy Spirit is our neighbor's power. Our safe sanctuary that God gives us this morning is a safe space for our neighbors. Brothers and sisters, you are loved by God. You are forgiven by Christ. You are right with God every single day. That breath that we exhale is the Holy Spirit flowing through us. It is our gift. It is our joy. And we get to give that truth away. We get to walk forward, carrying the light of Christ, following Christ who sets us free, so that our neighbors, our people, so that we can know that we are people of a living God. Amen.